We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
In the Know, the Bourbon Street Shots Podcast. We're your hosts, Shamit Duup and Mason Ginsburg, and this is All Pelicans All the Time. Welcome to an episode of In the Know, in the dead part of the off season. Hopefully you guys caught our special mini episode on NBA 2K, but this one is definitely all Pelicans focused and not 2K focused. So Mason, what has been good with you? I heard you went to Europe and did some European things. What was up with that, man?
Apart from you hating on my now you've taken your hating on my puns to Instagram away from Twitter, and it's really bumming me out.
No, you took your puns to Instagram. I'm sorry.
You took your hating of it to Instagram.
Okay, you started it.
it was a really great trip. I since I started working up in Chicago 4 years ago, I haven't taken a full week off, which is a pretty ridiculous. And so we planned this trip a few months ago, hit Rome, Florence, Venice, and Italy, and then finished out with a couple of days in Paris. And so super awesome. I had never been to Europe before. Really enjoyed it. Basically just a lot of wine, a lot of pasta, a lot of walking though. Most of those cities we were in, apart from I guess Paris, and even Paris to an extent, are very walkable. Not much except for, well, I guess Venice is more boat than anything else, but managed to stay active enough. But yeah, really, really had a great time. Looking forward to my next international trip, whenever that ends up being. What's been going on with you?
I've just been in and about New Orleans / the Gulf South, playing some frisbee, relaxing, playing more frisbee, and yeah, just waiting for the season to start. Can't say I've been doing much else, but been keeping up with these pals who have been posting a lot of stuff on social media. I guess that's my only way to get my Pelicans fixed these days. But it does. So here's what I think is pretty cool. Like, you know, every team has their young players that do fun stuff on social media. But it feels like in years past, the Pelicans really weren't too vocal on social media. They didn't really quite show much of their personality on social media. You had a bunch of like videos of perhaps like Drew working out. You might have the odd video of Anthony Davis working out, but really that was about it. You didn't really get much from them in terms of like their daily life. And now all of a sudden you have, I want to talk about like groups of these players, but then it's also kind of all melding together now. You have the rookies. You have Zion, N'Keal, and Jackson, who are like attached at the hip everywhere they go this summer, and they're constantly posting about all their crazy shoes or whatnot. But it looks like they're all having a good time. And then you have like the Lakers crew, which is mostly at this point just Lonzo and Josh Hart. And Brandon Ingram like randomly pops up. Like apparently he was in the Bahamas looking high as balls, banging on some girls, doing Brandon Ingram things. Like it looks like he's having a good time. But now there's a huge chunk of them in New Orleans. I think the list of players currently in New Orleans is Lonzo, Josh, Kenrick, Ja, all three of the rookies. So that's seven. And then you have the two-way guys, Zillin, Cheatham. And then I don't know if there's – I think Nick Melly might be in town as well. You might have like 8 to 10 of these players in town, and they're all posting on social media about like hanging out with each other and going to Saints games and doing these things. And it seems like they are already getting along a whole lot. And do you think it's fair to say that there wasn't much of this before? Or am I just reading too much into things?
I think you're right. I will say I feel like we did get a good bit of like the group workouts. I mean, even last year and this year, I mean, even now you saw, despite the AD trade, I mean, you saw Drew, AD, Ja, Frank Jackson, even Stanley Johnson, and I'm probably missing a player or two in this, but all those guys working out together relatively consistently. But this year, I mean, the new stuff is what you talked about. So, and nice to see maybe a little bit more recently, though, with Josh Hart and Zoe really embracing the city. The rookie thing is really, really cool to me. When you say attached to the hip, like those guys are tagging each other on Instagram like every day, pictures of their shoes, and checking out the college scene. They went from Tulane game one night to the Baton Rouge for LSU game the next night. They're really doing it. And they went to the Saints game last night, just doing everything they can to really embrace the city and just show love. It's really neat. I mean, even thinking back to, and I know, I guess it was a little different era in terms of social media, but like thinking back to even when AD got drafted, the same draft as Austin Rivers, I don't think those dudes did anything together.
Those are really weird personalities too, because you have Austin Rivers, who was like the hot thing coming out of college. Outside, you know, like Anthony Davis was a hot thing in terms of like, okay, he's the number one pick, but Austin Rivers was like, oh no, I think I'm the number one pick type of guy, where like his ego was just so far above his shoulders, and he had a little bit of a humbling experience. But like in terms of personality, like Austin was super cocky, whereas Anthony was super reserved. It was interesting to kind of see like those two fit together. But I think we later learned that like Anthony's personality is like, hey, I have a unibrow, and it kind of like ends there.
Love it. Side note, I wonder how different that would have been if I feel like it's been talked about to certain degrees over the years, but if the Pelicans had gotten one pick higher and ended up taking Drummond alongside AD, I wonder what kind of relationship those, like, forget the on-court stuff. Like, I wonder, like, if those two would have, like, really embraced it and been, like, the Twin Towers and had some sort of a relationship the same way that the rookies seem to be building together this year. Because your point about Austin Rivers is really, it's spot on in how he probably viewed himself. He was, like, a top prospect coming out of high school. I do kind of wonder if that would have changed anything, not just on the court but also off the court. It's interesting to think about personality wise how that would have worked out.
I mean, AD would have loved to have played with Drummond, because it would mean he would never have to play center ever, because you're investing two lottery picks and two bigs.
Yeah, I just lobbed that one up, but yeah, absolutely.
Lob it up, Mason. No, I mean, it's interesting. I think what's cool to see happen is, like, the interactions now between, like, Lonzo and Zion, and Lonzo and Jackson, and like, Josh Hart had Jackson on his podcast to talk about things. So it's, you know, how we talked about in a previous podcast that there's, like, three tiers of players. You have the rookies, and you have the young vets and, like, the Lakers players, and then you have, like, the vets with, like, Drew, Derek, and JJ and all of that. So you're seeing, like, a mind meld kind of going on with the young players, which is fun to watch. Speaking of Drew, apparently him and his whole fam were in India for a wedding this past week, and they look like they're having a fun time, which I'm like, first of all, Drew, it's hot as hell in India, so I'm impressed you guys are putting up with that stuff, but it looks like they had a great time.
Nice. Yeah, I was kind of tried to be as unplugged as possible while I was in Europe. I think I used probably Google Maps the most trying to find my way around. But yeah, once I got back, I was definitely trying to keep up with those guys and see where they were and what they were up to. Cause I mean, it is like to your point, in the dead period of the off season, it's kind of cool just to be able to keep up with these guys when there's no other real basketball going on to see how they're doing.
Yeah, I think, you know, perhaps a point that hasn't been talked about yet is this is the first time so many players are coming to play in New Orleans, in a sense that they're all bonding over the fact that this is a new place for them. So they all have to go through, like, the house searching process. They all have to go through the moving process. They all have to go through the process of familiarizing themselves with the city. And I think it's rare to have a team where it's essentially its whole roster is going through that. I mean, outside of, like, Drew, Darius, Etuan, and, you know, like, the two, I guess, Kenrich and Ja, the whole roster, like, the 10 other guys, like, they're coming from somewhere else. And I think you're seeing that with the young players is they're all, like, probably talking to each other, like, oh, yeah, I bought my house in this neighborhood, and they're, like, these are good places to eat, and, you know, these are some secrets about New Orleans that you should take advantage of or whatnot. Yeah. So it's cool to watch that process happen.
It's a great point. I'm glad you brought it up, because, I had a similar experience when I went to Austin for school, and I feel like many people who, if they travel somewhere for college or anywhere like that, you really bond with those people because you're all having the same new experience. You know, you're going somewhere where you don't know anybody, and you just, it's a little different than if you're the one new person and anyone with a bunch of people who have been there for a while. Like, you try to latch on, but maybe you always feel like you're the outsider, and you're the one who just came and joined last, and you're self-conscious because you don't feel like you have as good of a relationship with the rest of the team who's been together for a while. Whereas this time, it's like everyone's coming together for the first time. Obviously not the entire team, but enough so that you kind of feel like you're all in it together and you're all having the same experience. And I think it really does mean a lot.
Yeah, I'm happy for them. I'm happy that they're having a good time with that process.
Every guy looks better and feels more confident when he puts on a suit. There's one problem. Guys keep buying generic off-the-rack suits. That's why Blue Wire is pumped to partner with Indochino for an amazing deal on a new suit. Indochino is the world's leading made-to-measure menswear company. They make suits and shirts to your exact measurements for an unparalleled fit and comfort. Looking to get married? They have tons of options for those looking to outfit their wedding party. It's so easy to get started. Visit a stylist at one of Indochino's 40 showrooms in North America and have them take your measurements personally, or measure at home yourself and shop online at Indochino.com. This week, In the Know listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $369 at Indochino.com when entering Blue Wire at checkout. Plus, shipping is free. That's Indochino.com, promo code BLUEWIRE, for any premium suit for just $369 and free shipping. This is an incredible deal for a premium made-to-measure suit. Once you go custom, you don't go back. If you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or keep walking? Of course you take the money. So why do you keep picking winners and not betting on them? That's why I go to MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay when you win. Let's face it. Where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet this football season, bet with MyBookie. Did you know you could bet on games after kickoff? If by the second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always just take the other side. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. And no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of the year. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code BLUEWIRE to activate the offer. That's promo code BLUEWIRE. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
Now, I want to change gears a little bit. If you guys have been keeping up with this stuff, Sports Illustrated has been putting out their annual list of top 100 players. And I think, you know, ESPN has yet to start their NBA rank stuff. But Sports Illustrated has gotten ahead. And they've put out 100 through 31 so far. And the Pelicans, so far three Pelicans have popped up. We can start from the top. We have Brandon Ingram coming in at 85. We have J.J. Redick coming in at 67. What is it? Is it 67? Yep, 67. And then you have Derek Favors coming in at 55. So they seem to view Derek Favors as the best of those three, which is interesting. I think that kind of aligned with our we had the discussion last time where I asked you, like, who do you think is, like, the second best player on the Pelicans? Mm-hmm. And I think, well, we have a couple things to talk about. I guess we can talk about this group first. Let's start with Brandon Ingram at 85. Now, there are a couple interesting people around him and above him. Al-Farouq Aminu is directly in front of him at 84. You have someone like Ricky Rubio ahead of him, and he's in the 70s. I think he's 79-ish. No, he's higher than 79. Christ. Is Rubio that good? In any case, oh, he's 73. Wow. Okay. And then you have Harrison Barnes at 72, who I don't think is dissimilar from Ingram in terms of impact and perhaps play style. They're both like isolation heavy forwards, although I think Harrison Barnes might be a better rebounder. Do you have much thoughts on Ingram being ranked at 85? Do you think he should be higher? Tatum, I think, is in the 30s for reference.
Yeah, I don't want to use Tatum as a benchmark. I think Tatum's a little bit overrated on that in that front. But
Tatum is 35.
Yeah, I believe at this point in time that Lonzo Ball's a better player than Brandon Ingram. That said, these rankings are clearly done to project out next season. And so I think that they're factoring in a jump for Ingram. And I think he has more room to improve and over the course of the season than Lonzo Ball does. And so I get it. I think it's a little bit optimistic in terms of Ingram versus Ball, but I don't have a problem with it. He obviously has the raw skills. He's got the size, the ability to make a difference on both ends. If he can put it together. Thinking about it through a Pelicans context, I'm just a little surprised that he's that much higher than Lonzo. We can talk about the snubs in a bit, but I don't even know if I saw Lonzo Ball on the snubs list for the,
do you think Ricky Rubio is that much better than Lonzo Ball?
I don't. No. And so I'm kind of surprised that Zoe's not on there. As far as where Ingram's ranked, I feel like it's okay. I mean, there are probably some players after Brandon Ingram that I would probably put in front of him. So I think there's the Rubio one is odd. There's a couple others that I think maybe Ingram could be better than, but I do think that there are some guys that I could make a decent case that will have a better season than Brandon Ingram.
And to be fair, they hedge their bets a little bit with Ingram talking about how he's coming back from what is essentially a blood clot, and neither the Pelicans nor the Lakers have really said much officially about it. So it's difficult to project out how that's going to impact his game and how he's going to look going forward this season. But they do raise some fair concerns outside of that, where they talk about, yes, like, you know, you put the ball in his hands, he can score. but what else does he do? And I think that is similar to what we've criticized him for. It's like, okay, well, if you're not running your offense through him, can he find other ways to impact the game? And I think that's a fair question.
Yep. Yep. And it seems like from what it seems like the easy route to take on that is like, oh, well, he was on the shit show that is the Los Angeles Lakers last year, and that was a mess of a season. It's like, well, yeah, well, I mean, that's still a theory, and I certainly agree with it to a point, but that only takes you so far. So I guess there's so much uncertainty around his game over the next year that I don't know. I mean, we'll see, I guess.
We will see indeed. Going on to the next player, JJ Redick at 67. I really don't have any complaints about JJ being ranked this high. I think that's a really good place for him to be. You know, they had Joe Harris, I think, in the 90s, and he's an elite shooter, a bit bigger than JJ, obviously younger than JJ. Just goes to speak how valued JJ is around the league and the kind of like fear he puts in on defenses when he's playing off the ball. So at 34 years old, being ranked 67, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I mean the guys he's around too, the guys just in front of him, with the exception of that Rockets guard who won't be named. I mean, Brogdon, Trae Young, Covington, Ingles, like these are all guys that like they're all good, damn good players, and they're ones that I would like to be mentioned around at any point in my career, much less when I'm 34. So I think it's a compliment to where Redick is at this point in his career. I like it.
And the two spots immediately above him, as in like worse than him, at 68, you have Jaylen Brown. At 69, you have Caris LeVert, who I think people would concede are very promising young players. So,
yep, and Josh Richardson too, a little behind him.
Right. So yeah, I think that's a win for the Pelicans. This one is perhaps the coolest ranking. Derek Favors at 55, because you have. I'm gonna name some bigs that are not ranked as highly as him. So you have Brook Lopez at 66. You have who else? You have Aaron Gordon at 60. You have what? They ranked Gordon Hayward at 59. What?
Yeah.
All right, we'll come back to that. You have Clint Capella at 56. So yeah. Derek Favors at 55, which is right on the cusp of that top 50 berth. And they are really high on him due to the fact that they feel he was kind of buried behind Rudy and he was playing out of position a bit. So he'll finally be able to expand on his game in New Orleans. They said he had the eighth highest block rate in the league ahead of Joel Embiid, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's also similar to what we talked about when we were during the last podcast after we broke down the schedule. And I mean, you know, I think it's going to be, watching him with Zion's going to be great. I think, again, even if you think that Brandon Ingram was overranked, I think, or maybe ranked too low. I think these guys, I don't think you could make the case that they were ranked too low. I think Redick and Favors both feel right. I mean, you could even make a case that SI is a little too optimistic on those guys. But I think the point being, I think it's hard to, as a Pelicans fan, to see when you see those guys where they are, I think it would be hard to be too upset about it.
No, agreed. So they've released 100 through 31. And I think that says Drew Holiday is a top 30 player in their eyes, which is yes. Yes, he is.
Yes.
And there are some – here are the players in the low 30s. So you have DeMar DeRozan at 31, C.J. McCollum at 32, De'Aaron Fox at 33, Devin Booker at 34. So, yeah, that's a great crop of guards to be ahead of. And hopefully he is in the low 20s, if not a top 20 player. What's really interesting to me is there haven't been any rookies listed at all, but in their introduction, they don't specifically say anywhere that we did not rank any rookies. Now, Zion Williamson is not ranked so far. So either he is not a top 100 player slash snub. I think what they had 25 snubs listed. Yeah, 25 biggest snubs. Yeah. So either he's a not a top 125 player this year, according to them, or he's a top 30 player, or they just didn't rank rookies. It's unclear. Of those three options, what do you think is the most likely, and where is your head at?
I honestly have no clue. Like, I thought that third option was going to be the one I go with. They just didn't rank rookies, but it doesn't say that anywhere. And honestly, looking at the list of guys who were on the snub list, I mean, you can make a pretty easy case that Zion's going to be better than some of these guys. Like Dennis Schroeder, come on.
Alfred Aminu. I mean, Aminu's good. Sorry, I don't want to crap on Aminu. I think
Aminu's in the top 100. I'm just talking about guys in the snub list. Like,
yeah, Andrew Wiggins is ranked 100.
Yeah, that's another story right there. And like Dwight Howard, like I think I wonder if they put Dwight Howard on the snub list just because he's a name.
The snub list is so wild, man. There are some names on there. They have Nick Batum on there. Nick Batum in the year 2019/2020.
Malik Beasley. I mean, and like I get like he had a he kind of came out of nowhere a little bit for the Nuggets last year, but like I can't already put him on a top 100 list, you know? Yeah, I mean there are enough guys on here that I'm just like, like how can you not put Zion at least in that category or higher? That
I'm still shook that Gordon Hayward is 59. Based on what, man?
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, yeah, that between that and Tatum at 35, we're gonna have a lot of over.
Kyle Anderson is a snub.
Jeez. Kyle Anderson.
Yeah. Good for them. Anywho, that's an interesting. I think I am leaning for Zion being not ranked, as in I don't think they chose to rank rookies.
I mean, yeah, that's I didn't like you said, I didn't see it documented anywhere, but I clicked the last couple of years back, and like DeAndre Ayton wasn't on the top 100 that last year. I don't even think I had to double check this, but I didn't even see Ben Simmons on the one from 3 years back. So, and that would probably be the of the recent top 100 list, that would probably be the most dead giveaway that rookies aren't on there, because I think over the last 3 years he was probably the, well, I guess I don't know when, I can't remember when his injury came out, or if his injury was already, oh no, so that year was his second year in the league, but his first year playing, I guess.
That was Markelle Fultz's year, and I don't think he was ranked ever, was he?
Yeah, okay, yeah, I'm confusing myself right now. But yeah, so yeah, I mean, like maybe that's just it. Maybe they're just not ranking rookies, but that was, yeah, certainly an interesting decision.
Yeah. Oh, well.
So where does Drew, what's fair to you for Drew?
Do you want to play Price is Right rules? And we guess, but it would be like the opposite of Price is Right rules, because it's like golf rankings, like where lower is better. So if you overshoot it by like, you know, ranking him five or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I have a thought, but
speak it
for you. All right. I don't see them putting him top 20. I just don't see it.
Okay. Where do you have it?
I would put him top 25 though. So I think something between 20 and 25 is would be expected. Or not expected. I think I'd put him somewhere between 20 and 25 maybe. And then I would be a little disappointed if it's between 25 and 30.
Okay. I'll put him at 17. Just because.
All right. That'd be nice.
I think you're more than likely right. I think he probably is like 24 or 23. But I'll put him at 17. I feel fine with that.
Honestly, I could see him coming in between 25 and 30, but I would put him in the closer to 20 than that.
Cool. Well, I think that should wrap up about the topics we're going to cover this pod, unless you have any other things you want to talk about.
No, we're coming up on, I mean, I guess the next thing will be Media Day, huh? We'll maybe do something before Media Day and something after it as we get ready for the preseason.
Yeah, I believe Media Day is either the end of this month or the first of the next. I think it's the 30th. I don't know if they've officially announced it yet. But rest assured, I will be there to cover all your Pelicans needs. I'm excited. This should be a very fun Media Day.
Yeah.
And with all the newness, everyone's new.
Yeah.
Everybody's new.
Yeah, we'll have players interviewing the media.
Oh, that'd be fun. I'm going to get one of those guys on this pod.
Do it, man. I'm pumped. I was convinced that with AD leaving the Pelicans, we were done with preseason games in Chicago, but we got another one this year. So I get to see.
You got a preseason game in Chicago? That's cool.
Yeah, again, somehow. I thought it was just because AD was the Chicago kid, and that's why they came here every year. But
maybe because of Jordan and Zion.
Yeah, could be.
I don't know. I'm just preseason games are largely like revenue decision based, where like teams decide like this is what we want to do, this is how we want to split the funds, and yada yada yada.
Yeah, I think the Pelicans have like one home preseason game this year.
Yeah, I think that might be because the Pelicans get more money playing in the other markets, or like the other team might get more money. I think it has to do with the revenue thing, where I think because New Orleans is the smallest market, and you know preseason games are not going to sell out, but you might have a better chance because they play in New York, they play in Chicago, and they've always played in New York and Chicago, and those are the biggest cities.
And honestly, that's nice. That's nice for season ticket holders too, because I know like of my friends who are Saints season ticket holders, the worst part about it is the fact that they get stuck with these two home preseason games every year and their ticket packets, and it's like nobody wants them. You got to pay full price for them. It's a racket, but at least it's nice for the Pelicans. And that's kind of the situation every year. I mean, even when they have more than one home game, it's not really a home game. They'll do it in like Northwest Louisiana or Baton Rouge or something like that, where they can just expose the team to a slightly different market and get fans from across the Gulf Coast to come watch and play.
Yeah. I'm excited, man. This season should be, at least from an entertainment standpoint, one of the best we've had in quite some time.
For sure.
Cool. Well, as always, thanks for listening, folks. And until next time, hopefully we start getting a lot more content and we'll get it out to you.